Blog Talk Radio.
Very scary team. Very, very scary.
Moving on to the Made Men, I thought my brother-in-law did a great job this year, Kurt Thrasher. I could tell he adjusted his strategy to account for the new rules. You get to know guys in the way they draft, and I was watching him, and he definitely adjusted his strategy. It was as if he was freed. I mean, he got Romo at quarterback, which, him being a Cowboys fan aside, is a quality pick. He's got DeMarco Murray, Adrian Peterson, Jarvis Landry, and Emmanuel Sanders on his offensive flex. Josh Hill over at tight end with Vinatieri off that, say it with me, high octane Colts offense in Indy. Love Everson Griffin this year at defensive line. And, you know, Kurt starting him with Pierre Paul as his backup. So that's a nice flyer pick to take. Sporting Barry Church at defensive back, which I personally think Church is in for a big year because of the uncertainty amongst the Cowboy linebackers. Aside from Sean Lee.
Yeah, they just took the injury back there.
Yeah, you don't know what's going to happen. What, did you say Church got injured or the linebackers?
No, the linebackers you don't know what's going on with, and then another one of the corners just went down.
Yeah, so I think Church is going to be there to clean up a lot. And then he's got Jamie Collins, Justin Houston, and Lawrence Timmons to go along with Mikal Kendricks at linebacker. It's just, I thought it's one of the better teams in the Gothic.
You know, I'd have to agree with you. Not quite as deep as I'd say Legion of Doom is, but he's got his aces in the right places on this one. So, you know, he's got DeMarco. DeMarco's been solid. Granted, he carried the rock quite a bit of times last year. We'll see if his durability holds. But then again, they might not run him as much in Philly. That being said, AP's back. He's got him there. Jonas Gray, I'm not real sold on. I'm not a fan of that New England monster running back committee they made. But outside of that, I mean, the guy's got a really, really good starting lineup. Outside of tight ends, I didn't really like the tight end picks here. Josh Hill, I think, will be good. If I was looking at a dynasty league, I would think this was awesome. But they get the backup in Dallas, and then he's starting. Looks like Josh Hill's going to have to be a starter. And I'm not even sure Josh Hill's got the job. I thought they were giving most of the snaps to Ben Watson. So I could be wrong here. Maybe we'll see what happens week one. But just starting out, looking at everything else, he's solid. You know, maybe one too many DBs, but maybe no McCourty there. I like Adams, Church, and Mundy.
That is his hole to fill. Tight end is definitely the hole to fill.
Definitely.
Kurt's one of those Made Men are one of the teams that I have circled as a playoff contender. Why don't we finish off the Gothic by going over to the Gold Division. So, Tim, would you like to start with Make It Rain?
I'd love to. Very solid over here at quarterback. We got Aaron Rodgers backed up by Phillip Rivers. So two of the top 12 quarterbacks. You got Aaron Rodgers, top one, top two. Moving on to running back, it looks like he took a few too many here. And for not having Lacy, taking Starks, granted, you got to hope Lacy goes down. I don't see it. Alfred Morris, good pick there. Trey Mason, again, with no Gurley and nobody knowing exactly what's happening with St. Louis' run game, I don't quite agree with it. Dan Heron, not too excited about. Nellington, I haven't ever been excited about. Moving on, Percy Harvin, can't really seem to find his place in the NFL.
I would never pick Harvin. I just don't understand people that do it, because how many times does he have to bite people? Yeah.
I put him right in there with Terry McFadden. I've once bitten, twice shy, three times, just burn his jersey and call it quits. I like Brandon LaFell. Brandon LaFell, I think, is going to be for where he got picked up in most drafts, I think he'd be a steal. Really like Jordan Matthews. Kobe Fleener, I thought, was way too high for, you know, lack of touchdown potential that he has in this league. Jimmy Graham, same story. I think this guy is going to be used mainly as a blocker, unfortunately for him, and then maybe on a couple trick plays here and there, drop it out to him. So I think his production is going to drop off. Corliss, there's a tight end battle going there, so I really don't know where that's going to go. Slipping down to the defense. I think he really made up for it down here. I do like the Fletcher Cox, Corey Legit, Connor Barwin, Eric Kendricks, Ryan Kerrigan, Zach Thompson, for an outside guy. Steven Tulloch, those are all pretty solid linebackers. Nathaniel Allen, Clinton Dix, Patrick Peterson, and Dante Whitner to round things off. Not too bad on DB. Maybe picked one too many.
See,
so
I think
all in all, I like the team. Just a few holes here and there, and then that's not bad. I think he can still adjust.
My note says that, in my opinion, Make It Rain is going to need to keep an eye on the free agent wire to fill defensive holes if he wants to compete. Of course, everyone loves a pick like Rodgers. Love Calvin Johnson. Jordan Matthews is great. Ellington could be good, but he's not much of a goal line back, so I worry about how much he can give a team in the King for a Day format where,
right,
you know, it's not point per reception. He could pick up that 3-point bonus for the 40 yards receiving, but if he's not getting goal line carries, it's really a running back that, you know, unless he's getting a lot of reception touchdowns, it's going to be hard for him to make an impact. Alfred Morris, solid number four, as solid a number four starter as you're going to find. Jimmy Graham, if he plays like he normally does, he's money. You know, Crosby is green and gold. Legit and Cox are fine. Clinton Dix, et cetera. You said all that. I think Clinton Dix might break out and be in the top 10 this year. So I'm really high. I think that's a fantastic pick for Clinton Dix. And then this is where it gets short, though, is, you know, Tulloch's good at linebacker. But then the bottom falls out as he's got to fill three defensive flex spots. And he's got Kendricks of Minnesota for one of them, but it's not really clear that Kendricks is going to start yet. And you've got Ryan Kerrigan. He's good, but I'd rather do better. Connor Barwin's good, but I think people picked him based on his stats last year, and they're forgetting that Alonzo is going to be there this year. And between Kiki Alonzo and Kendricks, they're going to suck up Mikel Kendricks, by the way. They're going to suck up most of the tackles in Philly. So I don't know where he's going with that. Shaq Thompson could be a very nice find, but that's also not clear as to whether or not he's going to start. I mean, Dante Whitner may be the next man up here if these other question mark players don't pan out, and that's why I say he's going to have to look at free agency to fill some defensive holes.
Right. I completely agree with you here. Like I said, I think this may be a learning experience for him. This might be the first time he's ever gotten the draft this deep as far as, you know, defensive guys go. So, I mean, a lot of those guys, yeah, they know your top three linebackers or, you know, that class of top three linebackers. But moving on down the line, they may have just been looking at stats from last year to really pick these guys out.
He picked a lot. He picked several defensive backups. It's just, again, one of those things where if it, again, this whole ifs and buts were candy and nuts. Kendricks of Minnesota, if he starts, is definitely going to be a stud. So he's putting his chip on that. Shaq Thompson, if he gets that job, is going to be really good. And then it'll make up for the Kerrigan and Barwin picks. But if I could move on to D-Risk, I loved almost all of D-Risk's team. Stud quarterbacks led by Peyton Manning, nice set of offensive flex with Lamar Miller, Latavius Murray, A.J. Green, and Jeremy Maclin. Kelsey's one of the best options you can have at tight end, not named Gronk. Daniels behind him is fantastic. You got Carpenter and Novak, good kickers. Watt is all-world at defensive line. The guy scores like a quarterback at defensive line. Defensive back is great with McDonald, but then it dies at linebacker where he's got Lofton and David Harris and not much else. So if Dave Korducki can improve on defense via free agency and or some trades, he's definitely going to win a game this year coming off a season where he didn't win any. Most likely, I think he'll make the playoffs if he can just tweak his defense a little bit and, you know, make some kind of move.
I agree with you here. I think he's another one that really, I think this might have been the team that actually stacked up the most offensive players and the least defensive players, and I think that's really going to hurt him. He's not very deep at linebacker at all. Like you said, he's really good at defensive line and defensive back, so he got his required positions, but in the spot where you're going to start all your offensive flex, so all your points on defense, you know, he kind of floundered with those linebacker picks. So, I agree with you 100%. He's really going to have to reach into that free agency and hope something's there. Or maybe grab one of these guys that are starting to explode on his team in the beginning and trade for a couple defensive guys.
And you know what's funny, if I could just throw this out there? I think this is a classic case of where the rule changes, the trial deflex lineup. Having removed 12 to 18 defensive backs and linebackers out of free agency that traditionally had been there, this is where teams that didn't get those guys in the draft are not going to have that cakewalk anymore, just walking into free agency and plucking out every week starters. It's going to be a little bit more challenging, and that's what you want. you know, big picture from a league, if somebody misses, if I miss on my offense, if I miss on my quarterback, it's going to hurt me to try to fix it, you know, and it should, because that's the game. That's what we're all playing. So
right, Aaron Rodgers goes down tomorrow, you can't go out and get, you know, Drew Brees. She's not going to work that way.
Absolutely. Yeah, unless you're in like a 8-team league. So why don't we move over to the Hurricanes, if you don't mind starting the Hurricanes.
Absolutely. So we start off at the quarterback here, where he's got Tom Brady and Bridgewater. Brady being obviously a starter here. Bridgewater could potentially be pretty good this year. I'm not too sold on it, but I know a lot of people are. Moving over to running back, I do like the Arian Foster pick. He probably got him later than expected with the injury, but he did shackle him up with Alfred Blue. So he made up for that there. Ronnie Hillman, I'm not big on that. I don't know why he picked him up, short of an injury over with C.J. Anderson. Same thing with Monty Ball. I think those are two big misses. He really could have used some picks other places. Ryan Matthews, again, the guy just gets hurt. C.J. Spiller and Darren Sproles, I think, you know, it's one guy. They're kind of the same guy on different teams. But I do like him. I do like him in this league because of the 40 yards receiving bonus. Going on down, he's got Martavius Bryant, Michael Floyd, both two great young wide receivers. Ty Hilton, great pickup. Cody Latimer, not sold on yet unless somebody goes down. Randy Moss, I think he was just taking a flyer on in case Randy does decide to come back in the league. And, hey, who doesn't want to say they have Randy Moss on their team?
Yeah, but you know what? I'm going to rip that. I'm going to jump in with you on this spot. I think it was a horrible pick because I understand the nostalgia of Randy Moss, thinking back to what Randy Moss was. The last time Randy Moss played in the NFL, however many years ago that was, he sure as hell didn't look like Randy Moss. My point being, why waste a roster spot on a guy? We're entering the fourth week of training camp, the final set of preseason games. Do you really think Randy Moss, after you saw him the last time that you saw him in an NFL uniform, can get up off the couch, walk in, and make an impact to the extent that you're going to take him over other guys that have upside? I just think that's a wasted pick.
I think it is, too. And I mean, especially since he did take him, but I think two or three rounds before the last round. It wasn't even the last round.
Right. It wasn't.
So, I mean, you're definitely wasting a pick there, whereas you could have probably picked up somebody here, you know, as I'm looking to bring a little bit more depth onto that defense, because he's another team with no D. That's really going to hurt him. I think he's taking the same risks. If any of his guys gets hurt, I mean, he literally has one defensive backup. Outside of the guys, he has to start. He has one defensive backup.
I absolutely agree with that, and I do want to make a point about the Moss versus – I don't have a problem with guys that took Ray Rice. I don't have a problem with guys that took Pierre Thomas. Even if he took Wes Welker, these are all guys that were in a uniform last year, or in Rice's case, he was in preseason, and they looked good. You know, the bottom line is that you're talking about a guy who's been away from the game, he's older, and he's been away from the game, and he didn't look good the last time we saw him, so why would you waste a pick on it? But getting back to
him. Right, I mean, he's probably almost 40 years old.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah,
Ken
Bandier, he's got to be pushing 40, so go ahead.
The Hurricanes here, I had a note down that said, what the hell is he doing with all these running backs? I mean, Grady's a great pick at quarterback, nice value, especially given the uncertainty of his suspension, which I think is going to get completely killed off. The NFL really doesn't have a leg to stand on here. You can't suspend somebody over innuendo. On offensive flex, aside from Hilton and that high-octane offense, I'm not sure who he starts here. I mean, if Arian Foster comes back, of course he'll start him. Alfred Blue could start in the short term. Personally, I think Polk is the better of the two, if you compare Polk and Blue. But granted, let's just say the backup plan works like he planned it, and Alfred Blue can start. I guess Spiller could fill another spot, but I guess then he waits four more games to get Martavius Bryant back, at which time, you know, I guess John Brown from Arizona maybe? If you look at the big picture here, Kenny has some really early season obstacles on his offense. He may wind up using Gronkowski, who he drafted to be his tight end, as one of his offensive flex to get through the injury issues and suspensions that he has. Place kicker is perfect in Hoshka. The defensive line is great in Campbell. Wendell's great at defensive back. And then the linebacker and D-flex are Levy, Alonzo, Lee, and Laurinaitis. Great starters, but he's got no depth on defense. He's got none. He's got one backup defender, period. Amaka Miro.
Yep.
And I guarantee you, mark it down, he is not going to make it through the year with only one defensive backup. So, again,
no,
another
no one
instance.
Ever will.
But another instance, you could. You actually could in years past because these guys, starters, were sitting in free agency deep into the season. It's not going to be like that. He's going to need this change in defensive lineup is going to potentially hurt teams like this that did not draft any defensive backups because they're maybe he's counting on those guys being there, and I'm not sure they're going to be there. There'll always be some stuff there. You know, will he get those players? Will somebody jump in front of him? I don't know. Time will tell.
Right. And I mean, looking at this, I mean, I just see wasted picks. Like you said, the Moss pick, fine. But, I mean, in the other draft, I don't even think Monty Ball or Ronnie Hillman got drafted. Correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, that's the third and fourth back on Denver. I mean,
well, I'm going to get a little
you don't know which one's which.
To go deeper into the evaluation of Ball and Hillman, first of all, I'm hearing Ball has, and I'm shocked by it, but I've heard he's fallen to third string. He's actually been completely
backed up. That's what I've heard
as well. And Hillman, I listened to Football Guys and Cecil Lammy talks. He covers the Broncos, and he talked about just recently about all these people that are going crazy about Hillman, going gaga about Hillman, and Hillman's stats about, you know, 100-something carries. He's had a total of 3 offensive snaps with the first team. It's smoke and mirrors,
right,
people. You know what
yep.
I mean? Guys get carried away, and they look at somebody who's playing against the third, fourth stringers, and he's making hay, but you got to pay attention to what's really going on. Hillman is not going to be there. If Anderson gets hurt, they'll probably go back to Ball, as much as Ball is retreated to the third on the depth chart. That, or I hear they have another younger guy in there that they like, a young rookie. I don't remember his name off the top of my head, but long story short,
yeah, I think he's under,
I
think
do think those are wasted picks.
Right. So, I mean, to where you could have bolstered that defense, those are just inexcusable, really.
Well, let me ask you this. Here's you know what? This is what this show is all about, you know, reviewing the Gothic draft, and we don't mean to beat the hell out of Kenny's team. These are really interesting decisions to talk about. And taking Foster, following it up with Blue, I would say instead of taking Randy Moss, you take Polk. Because you don't know, hypothetically, initial reports were that Foster would be out at least 10 weeks, maybe the whole year. So while Foster,
right,
getting him late was not a bad pick, it was kind of a good bargain pick, a good flyer, and then you follow it up and you grab Blue, if it's me, I think I'm going to grab Polk too, because now you've got that Houston backfield, if that's what you're hoping to do. In this case, he drafted a guy that maybe isn't going to come back this year, and he maybe picked the wrong backup. How's he going to feel if Polk ends up being the guy, which I'm high on Polk, and Blue ends up being a backup?
Yep, he'll be up a creek, to put it lightly.
Well, the last but not least, let's talk about Brian Getter's Wolfpack, and I have this down as a playoff contending team. Breeze was one of the steals of the draft, in my opinion. Le'Veon Bell is fantastic. Forte is solid. Alston Jeffery, if healthy, he could be really good. But with Forte already on the team, I did not like that pick at all, and I told him that when he took it. I'm not big on Carlos Hyde this year because I don't think San Francisco is going to do very much on offense. But Victor Cruz has a lot of upside, so Brian covered himself there. He didn't get D'Angelo Williams, so I kind of knock him on that. You take Bell, you should try to get Williams. You know you're going to be without Bell for a couple of games. Golden Tate can certainly fill a spot on offense as needed. But at tight end, Witten and Clay, you know, I don't want either of them on my team. I don't even want them, either of them as a backup. I mean, Witten is past his prime. He's a Hall of Famer, but he's not playing at a Hall of Fame level anymore, and I think he gets drafted a lot based on name recognition and not much else. So I would think Wolfpack will be out looking for a tight end before the year is over. Clay is useless in Buffalo. They just may as well not even pass the ball with Rex Ryan up there. Moving over, a dome kicker and Bryant, love that guy. Greg Hardy, stud defensive lineman, just need to get past the suspension, with which Chandler Jones is certainly going to help him do that. Defensive back in Rowell, or when he comes back, Landon Collins from the Giants. I think that's going to work out just fine for him. And then he's got stud linebackers, Bowman, Mayo, Seal Moore, Keenan Robinson. He's got Barr and Burfict on the bench. If Burfict gets healthy, Wolfpack is going to be able to trade a linebacker to improve his offense. Very strong on defense and has the potential to fix his offensive holes via trade.
I'd have to agree with you. This is another instance where I think maybe he could have turned two of those picks, especially the Carlos Hyde pick and even the Stephen Ridley pick. This is where that offensive flex, I think once people get used to it, are going to realize that they could have turned those guys into two solid, probably quality wide receivers instead of maybe running backs. So I think that's definitely one of those instances. Everybody else I like, again, I don't like bulking up your starters, like you said, with two of the starters being from Chicago, because that probably is really going to hurt. Outside of that, I like all the picks, again, up until you get to tight end. Definitely should have rostered a starting tight end in a position you have to start. You have to start a tight end, so that needs you need those points. That being said, Matt Bryant, great kicker. Defense all around just looks great, so there's really no need to really dive into it. So great defense, but, yeah, I'd see a few errors on the offense, but that's only because I'm looking really hard because this is a pretty darn good team. So let's hope those, if I got to play them, I hope those glaring holes hurt them a little bit more than it looks like they will. Otherwise, good luck to them.
You know, that's going to do it for the Gothic. I think, I don't, you know, tell me if I'm putting words in your mouth here because that's not my intent, but I think you and I both agree that the team we liked best was Legion of Doom.
I have to agree with you. Like I said, that guy drafted dangerously. He had a plan. It looks like he stuck to it. I don't see any panic picks in there. I don't see guys. I don't see wasted talent. You know. So all in all, winner of this draft, I'd have to give it to Legion of Doom.
Yep, I'm with you on the Gothic side of it. Although I do, some of it's biased, but some of it is just the way that players are valued. I really do like the Pale Riders squad. I think they're very deep and very high ceilings, which I guess for another show, maybe we talk about player evaluation, you know, philosophy, because I know there are players that have high floors, low ceilings, meaning vets that you know what you're going to get. And then there's young guys that just, you know, they have a low floor but a high ceiling, meaning you don't know what's going to happen necessarily, but when they hit, man, they're going to knock it out of the park. So I personally
right.
like those kinds of players when I'm drafting, especially in the second half of a draft. I want to load up with guys that have breaking potential, you know, that could hit that home run and help carry my team more than I want to pick guys that are just solid, I know what I'm getting, it's going to be okay. You know, in a PPR league, in a, you know, point per yardage league, that's going to make, that makes sense. Not in King for a Day. It really doesn't, because King for a Day is about
right.
who's scoring.
Who matters?
So why don't we wind it off here with recap of predictions. I did make predictions before the draft as far as who was going to take what, and at the end of this, I got four picks correct. I correctly picked the correctly predicted the top three of Luck, Rogers, and Peterson, and I predicted Keekly at number 10 for the Pale Riders. I was off just a little bit for the rest, but the players were all pretty close. For example, I had Scott Phillips taking Watt at number 4. Watt actually went 5 to D-Risk, so that was kind of cool to see how that fell, and I just wanted to say, you know, that's what I had picked. That's how it turned out, so I don't want to just beat my chest if I did good. I only got 4 right out of 12. I guess if I was playing baseball, then I'd be a millionaire, but not so much in fantasy football, so I better keep my day job. That's going to be for the Kingford A Gothic Conference Draft Review Podcast Part 2. I want to offer a great debt of thanks to Tim Savora for joining me tonight and Steve Wellman for Part 1. Until next time, I'm Rick Goreski saying thanks for joining me on another episode of the Kingford A Day Podcast. Here's wishing all your dreams come true this season. Good night, everybody. High octane.